Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Monday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. And, Jim, it's been a long, strange journey from early 2011 to what will be tomorrow, Election Day on the recall in Wisconsin. We all remember the huge protests in the Capitol. We remember the fleeing Democratic lawmakers. We remember the recall efforts among some of those state lawmakers, the big showdown over one of the Supreme Court justices at the ballot box. Then the recall of Scott Walker himself started over these collective bargaining reforms, benefit reforms for public sector unions. And what seemed to be just a bloody battle all the way to the finish looks to be, and we stress looks to be, shaping up to be a pretty solid win for Scott Walker if the tea leaves right now are anywhere close to being accurate, and that's great news.
It is, Greg. Obviously, if you are listening to this in Wisconsin, don't forget to vote if you have not already. If you know someone in Wisconsin and you wish to reach out to them, you certainly can, although I would remind you that chances are if you have a friend in Wisconsin who's interested in politics at all, they've probably been inundated with more politics than they ever wished to hear for the rest of their lives in just the last couple of weeks, to say nothing of when recall mania started, basically almost right after the Walker victory, with the fugitive state lawmakers running away across state lines to avoid having to vote on legislation and things like that. As you indicated, all the polls are looking good. Public policy polling has Walker up by 3, 50-47. It's a little tighter than some other ones. So this is going to come down, you know, the basics outline of the election looks good for Scott Walker, and the precise numbers are going to come down to turnout. And so the Republican National Committee and the Republican Governors Association are just, you know, pulling out all the stops in terms of turnout, in terms of get out the vote efforts. So are the unions as well. And I don't know if every listener has heard of this, but over the weekend, there was this intriguing bit of mailer that was going off in people's mailboxes by a progressive group in Wisconsin, supports Democrats, that said, we know who votes and who doesn't. And it listed people and their neighbors and their voting records. Now, public records records whether or not you vote in a particular election. They don't record who you vote for. But basically it was, we will know whether or not you voted this year. With a not so subtle intimidation, a sense of, you know, if you don't vote, we'll know. And, you know, who knows what will happen to you then. Now, it's easy to imagine this backfiring, Greg, besides the fact that people don't like to be intimidated. If you want to get them off your back, you go and you vote for Scott Walker to, you know, metaphorically give the finger to these people. And then, of course, afterwards, you can say, oh, you know, I voted for Barrett. What are you giving me grief over?
And that is,
so they may actually be helping Walker turnout efforts with such a heavy-handed and obnoxious effort to get people to turn out. So we'll have to see how this shakes out. Anybody who's involved in trying to get Walker reelected, I would say keep your foot on the gas pedal. But otherwise, things are looking pretty solid for him.
Yeah, absolutely. And the union tactics are a bad martini. Just the same tactics that we've seen over and over again, just intimidation, browbeating, threats, and that sort of thing. And that doesn't mean that every rank-and-file union member is like that. But we see it more and more when we see the desperation of these union leaders and some of the national Democratic figures, at least until they decided to cut bait, pretend like this wasn't even happening and it wasn't a huge priority for them.
Recall? What recall? I've, you know, most Democrats and national Democrats have never heard of this. Scott Walker? Who? Tom Barrett? Never heard of him.
Apparently, President Obama never found his walking shoes, because remember, he was going to be right alongside them there and never actually got around to doing that. Shocking.
Yeah, try calling Imelda Marcos.
Exactly. Apparently that promise had an expiration date of the moment he said it. So interesting. On to the third and crazy martini now, Jim. And we heard 4 years ago all about no drama Obama. Well, that certainly hasn't been borne out to be true over the last few years. And it's certainly not true, apparently, according to a new book by longtime Washington reporter Daniel Clydman, who says that at a meeting at the White House, one of Obama's chief political gurus, and that, of course, is David Axelrod, got into a nose-to-nose shouting match with Attorney General Eric Holder, because Holder apparently was upset with Axelrod for deliberately trying to politicize the Justice Department. So Valerie Jarrett had to jump in and break things up. So looks like not everyone's singing from the same song sheet in this administration. You can see it in policy. You can see it in some of the campaign tactics already. And that can only be good for us probably in the next few months to come.
Now, to take people through this, because it probably sounds like, of all the people in the Obama White House you could see coming to blows, you're probably listening thinking, Holder and Axelrod? Really? Apparently, the claim was that Axelrod wanted several Obama political loyalists to be working in the Justice Department to make sure things were in line with the president's thinking on these things. Now, I know you're hearing this and thinking, wait, isn't that Eric Holder's job? You know, isn't he the political appointee who's supposed to be politicizing the Justice Department? So the easier way to understand this dispute is the two of them saying, hey, hey, look, David, I don't want you politicizing the Justice Department. That's my job as Attorney General, okay? I got a bit hard enough time hiding up this whole Fast and Furious thing going on. No, but apparently the two men, you know, Holder, Axelrod wanted some of his guys in the Department of Justice. Holder didn't like that. You know, allegedly some of Holder's people were leaking this, and Axelrod didn't want to be perceived as politicizing the Justice Department. He just wanted to be able to politicize the Justice Department without being perceived as doing so. And the two men rather escalated from there. Now, I got to tell you, Greg, I think my money would be on Axelrod in that fight. Because as much as, you know, Holder looks like he's a bigger guy, probably in better shape, I'm willing to bet that probably runs with his security detail and all that stuff. But look, let's all face it. If there's any hallmark we know of David Axelrod from watching him in these campaigns, Greg, he fights dirty. hair pulling, you know, eye gouging, the whole thing. You know, he's kind of this, like, a mixed martial artist style to the comb over and the mustache there. So I would have put my money on Axelrod. Unfortunately, Valerie Jarrett had to step in and break up all the fun, but maybe after the Obama presidency, maybe February of next year, we'll actually get the steel cage match that we were denied between Holder and Axelrod. The rematch, the showdown, what was ultimately happened. Then we could have all kinds of other, you know, that old MTV show, Ultimate Fighting or whatever it was, the celebrity death match.
Right.
You could do something like that for the Obama administration, of having these figures in a steel cage and just seeing who's scrappier when it comes down to it. You know, I wouldn't bet against Biden in a lot of these fights. I think, you know, if he can remember what he's there to do, he'd probably be just, you know, he'd probably be real great tenacity.
I love the idea of Eric Holder being appalled at the idea of politicizing the Justice Department. Come on, you got to be kidding me. He said that with a straight
face. Maybe this is the one time we can give him credit for trying to eliminate redundancy in government.
And, you know, Valerie Jarrett's from Chicago, too. There's not a lot of details on how she broke up the fight. She could have just knocked their heads together like a couple of pro wrestlers. And
taking them, throwing them across the room.
Oh, wow. Well, you know, this is the type of unraveling that is unbecoming of professionals in politics, but it also means that hopefully there's a lot of disarray on that campaign and that administration because...
Look at the bright side, Greg. We're in the very best of hands.
Right. Jim, happy Monday. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Looking forward to it, Greg. See ya.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us again on Tuesday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.